And let's go ahead and turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 15. Actually, 16. But since they're both together, it'll be okay. So we've done the sweet spirit. Let me back up. We should be praying for Sister Becky and the watch care she provides for Vic. And Frank went up to North Carolina to catch some gators. And he was supposed to get two. He's got three. He's got a doctor's appointment Friday. The cardiologist. When the cardiologist wants to see you, you know there's a problem. And it is with a valve. And I think that he'll probably recommend you go up to Cleveland and have it replaced. Very serious. So I think it has a lot to do with up and down so much. So keep him in prayer as well. Okay. At the end of chapter 15, we saw Paul and Barnabas disagree over Barnabas' nephew, Mark. So Paul and Silas team up, begin the second missionary journey in verse 41 of chapter 15. Barnabas and Mark go off to Cyprus. Okay, chapter 16, verse 1. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewess, and believed, but his father was a Greek. So we start to travel off, it seems like, in the reverse order of the first missionary journey. They travel to Derbe and Lystra. So before we keep going, does anyone remember where Paul was stoned during the first missionary journey? Lystra, chapter 14. And I don't think this is a stretch, but we ought to meditate on that for a moment and examine our own hearts and on the divide between the early church and our present state of willingness to be used of God. Remember, we're talking about power here. You're stoned, and you go right back. Not only are you going right back, but there are believers there. He led people to the Lord either there before so there's a church there. And I'm thinking, look at the pages. LePage grew up in Guernsey, and he knows there's not a lot of warm, fuzzy feelings for him, and yet he's going back. And I think it's a tough road, but he's going back where he grew up, and he's set his face like a flint, and he's going to see this thing through. Lopez in Spain. He came here, never knew a word of English, went to a school up in North Carolina, and then went back to Spain, started a church, got it going, stayed with it for a little bit, and then moved to a different part of Spain, started another one. Finally got into the building, if you read their newsletter, the one was all about the how they finished it all and everything, and the next newsletter was all the rains and the floods. And he came down, did like what it did to us. So they're cleaning it up and certain things like that. Cedric Wong in Hong Kong. And James Ree. If he could get into North Korea, he would be there. You know that for a fact. And he probably lose his life, but he's determined to do it. Well, here are these two. Silas doesn't have anything to do with that. But Paul just goes right back. And it's just incredible. I mean, if a bunch of people got mad and they killed me, I don't know how prompted I would be to go back unless the Lord through the Holy Spirit is working on me and there's great power in the New Testament church. And this is a small thing, I know. But when you think of all the other things that are going on, Small things become big things. And people are, for whatever reason, are just not willing to do certain things. So, here's the son of a certain woman, unnamed here, called a Jewess. So we might as well name her, if you didn't know this, 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. Look down here, verse 5. 2 Timothy 1, 5. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. So his mother was Eunice. That's who he's talking about here in Acts. And, of course, the grandmother was Lois. And the Bible says that, and believed. So Timothy is here, is a believer. He's saved. But his father was a Greek. And Timothy was raised a Jew. And I assume the father was not a believer. Okay, verse 2. Which was well reported of by the brethren, which were at Lystra and Iconium. Right, so they obviously observed him for some time, and the reports that were given were good. Iconium was another well-known place to Paul. They wanted to stone him there. The early churches did not get started without controversy or cause of fear for your life. I mean, these Judaizers and the crazy activist Jews were like politicians of today that we see. So both cities were stirred up by these Jews. Verse 3. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him, because of the Jews which were in those quarters. For they all know that his father was a Greek. So Paul sees the worker that he wants to have with him in the ministry, desires to take him along in the trip. He then circumcises him because of the Jews and their knowledge that his father was a Greek, a Gentile. So let's deal with this a minute or two. The Gentiles would accept a missionary that was wholly Jewish much easier than the Jews would a missionary partially Gentile, because of the prejudice. And if you don't think that, you go back to John chapter 4 and remember they went into Samaria and they came to the well, and the disciples went to get food, and they were wondering, why are we going through Samaria? These are Samaritans. They're dogs. They have nothing to do with them. And so any part of you being a Gentile to a Jew, they were hesitant to have anything to do with you back then. In Titus' case, and in Titus, there was no need for him to be circumcised. Paul's reasoning, I think, for this was to dispel any arguments over a volatile issue, circumcision. What was one of the two things that the Judaizers demanded of the Galatian believers, even, that added works to salvation? Circumcised. And then, of course, keep the Swiss ceremonial law. All right, hold your place, 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Look at verse 19 and then verse 20. For though I be free from all men, yet have I made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. To them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. All of that was done to break down arguments. Like when you, one of the things that I've learned over the years is that, especially in witnessing to people that are not anything close to us, is I develop the system of things that I want to shut down the arguments before they make the argument. Sometimes they walk away. Sometimes they think that they are going to best me in the argument. Well, I'm not trying to best anybody. I'll just go to a verse and I won't let him go. And if I have to be a little difficult with the other person that's with them, I will. Because one is, usually with your cults, there's one experienced and one novice of sorts. And you don't want them to get away with stuff. So you develop something that kind of breaks down where they're coming from with Scripture. Not, you know, just man-made issues. Go with me to Galatians 5. Galatians chapter 5. Chapter 5, verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if ye be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Then here to verse 11. And I, brethren, if I preach circumcision, why do I yet suffer persecution? This is the offense of the cross. Then is the offense of the cross ceased. And then chapter 6, over in 12 and 13. As many as desire to make a fair show in the flesh, they constrain you to be circumcised, only lest they should suffer persecution for the cross of Christ. For neither they themselves who are circumcised keep the law, but desire to have you circumcised, they may glory in your flesh. So, you know, all of this played into, ultimately plays into part what's going on here. And so you've got the mother, Eunice, and the grandmother, Lois, raising him Jewish, but they never circumcised him, probably because of the dad. And other Jews would assume he's a pagan, an infidel, a dog, like his father. So this mix would handicap Timothy, even hinder him greatly, for Gentiles would look at him as a Jew. And so you have two different groups, and they're both confusing him for something that he's not. And the Jews would look at him as a Gentile. So since most of the work that Paul was doing was with unsaved Jews at this point, even though it's changing, Paul thinks it's best. Well, Paul goes into synagogues right off the bat. Yes? Yes. And he thought it best to legitimize his status by making him wholly Jewish, even though he wasn't wholly Jewish. Okay, verse 4. And as they went through the cities, they delivered them the decrees for to keep that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem. So they came from Jerusalem with letters, and they gave those letters. These were from James and everybody in Jerusalem, and said what the Gentiles, how they were accepted, and what they should do afterwards, and having nothing to do with being saved, but just this is what they were due to obey. The Judaizers ignored it completely. They didn't recognize that Gentiles could be saved. They wanted nothing to do with that. That's part of the hatred that they have for Paul going around starting these churches. I think Galatia was, you see, the height of the hatred. You go into local assemblies, you don't announce who you are, you become part of the local assembly, and then you attack Paul for not going far enough to bring a full salvation. These were people like the full gospel people. You either have a gospel or you don't have a gospel. How can you have a full gospel? A full gospel is more than the gospel. Do you understand what I mean? If I have a cup and it's full, and somebody comes along and says, I think I can fill the cup more. No, you can't. You wreck it. So that's what these Jews were. So, verse 5. And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in numbers daily. So they gave them the letters from Jerusalem. The people grew in numerically. That's always a good thing if it's followed up with growing spiritually and following something. And then, of course, seeing the results of doing what was given to you in these letters and seeing that, wow, this works. We weren't too long married, and I applied for a job. It wasn't a fast food, it was a chain in restaurants in Miami. And so they said they would hire me, and then they had a two-week training program. The training director was from Cuba, spoke broken English, and he says, I'm going to give you this manual, and it is to be learned and followed all the time. And by the time these 2 weeks over, you will be tested on everything that's in this book. And I mean a test, to see whether you've learned the things that are in there. And if you if you take them with you in your work, you will grow, and the restaurant will grow. Guaranteed. And I just looked at him, and I took him at his word. And it worked. How much more? How much more with the word of God that we've been given? It works. Maybe you suffer. It still works. I mean, you're reading something. Even in a restaurant book, there were things that you suffered from just doing what they said to do from outside. But God's word, we have been given it. And really, didn't the Lord tell Joshua, you know, don't go to the left and don't go to the right? And this book is the book that you hold on to? Yes. So, verse 6. Now we skip that into another section, I think a very important section. Now when they, and the they is important, had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia. So you get a grasp of this, it'll dispel much of what's going on with regard to the Holy Ghost. The group have traveled and then to these two different regions, and then this statement, forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach in Asia. Okay, keep that in mind. Verse 7. And they, there's that word again, were come to Mysia. They essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not. So instead of turning south, they continue westward to Mysia, and once there, they essayed, which would be they endeavored, they attempted to go northward to the Black Sea where Bithynia is. If you're following me on a map, you'd see that. And then again, but the Spirit suffereth them not. So Sunday, I spoke about the devil being a hinderer. And Paul says that in a couple of different places. But I also included the world and the flesh. So, my logical question is, were Paul and those in that group hindered? As we would, because I think there appears to be communication that is acting in Christ's behalf to keep them from something from God's standpoint, of no value to them at that moment. Doesn't Isaiah 55 talk about my ways and my thoughts being higher and better than your thoughts and your ways? So I'm thinking, you've got a group here. Paul has the experience, and they've got everything established. He's got Timothy, a young man, but very smart. And they're marching and they're thinking, this is where we're going. And the Holy Ghost says, no, you're not. I don't know that the Holy Ghost hindered them. I think he guided them. You know, he instructed them. But I don't know that I call it a hindrance, maybe a divine guidance, which, if followed, guarantees you that you are in God's will, from which there is no safer place to be. Everywhere Paul went, he saw the need. The need was everywhere. Lost people, ripe harvest fields. If Paul had his way, he would have never reached Europe in his lifetime. He never would have gone to Asia. Again, the need is everywhere. The need is across the street, right there. The need is this back street. The need is down the street, up the street. It's in every house in this state and in our country and in the world. The need is everywhere. But I think he will lead you to where he wants you to be. You may not listen. You may not go. But one day you will learn the hard way that he knew what he was talking about. So the need in Asia, there are ultimately seven churches. And so the Holy Ghost forbids them to go there. Verse 8 and verse 9. And they, there's their word again, passing by Mysia, came down to Troas, and a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. Okay, so now they've gone as far as they can go west without needing a boat. And there was no boat. Troas, slightly to the south of where they were, and in Troas was the ancient city of Troy, about 10 miles to the south. So most of what we're talking about, northwest country of modern-day Turkey. Most of those early churches were in some part of Turkey. Isn't it interesting how countries can turn their back on the Lord and the truth? What is Turkey today? What is the United States today? We're not far. We're not that far from being Turkey or some of these other places that had the truth and just dismissed the truth. China had the truth. You go to the Buddhist temples. There's an entrance. There's an entrance in the big temples and the little local temples, and they have a casing on that side, and a casing on that side. Sometimes they're wider than this whole front here, and on the top there's a red mark, and on the side there's a red mark. And on the other side, there's a red mark. Where did that come from? The Passover lamb. The knowledge of that, of counterfeited, but they had that. So now I've seen they in verse 6, in verse 7, in verse 8, and we'll see it again. There was another place. Maybe there was two, all right? And then we come to verse 10. I'm getting ahead of myself. So just keep the they's mentioned, all right? And after they had seen the vision, immediately there's somebody else there. He had Paul, he had Silas, he had Timothy. Now there's somebody else. Who is it? Luke. Dr. Luke. Okay, so now we got four, and there's probably others that are unnamed, but you know they've got four. And in verse 14 later on, it's talking about us there. So all four of them he's talking about. They were standing together in these situations with the leading or forbidding of the Holy Ghost. And in those situations where the leading and the guiding or forbidding of the Holy Ghost, what do you do if he stops you? Do you just stop and do nothing? Or do you keep moving until the Holy Ghost confirms what it is he wants you to do? there's a reason that the wall is thrown up. Sometimes, I don't want you to do this at all. And it's another one is, you really shouldn't do this. I've got something, but not this. It's not a criticism. Most of you remember when Danny Edens and his wife came here, and they had a string of bad experiences in different churches. And so I looked and said, you know, you're welcome to come here and stay here, and if you can add anything to here, I'm all for that. And it was good for a while, and then he got antsy again. And he says, there's this church up in Scottsmore. They want me to come up and just preach a message. I said, be careful. He said, oh, I'll be careful. And then another message. And then another message. And before long, he says, they want me to become the pastor. I said, you'll be number 19. I said, do you know what they do with pastors? They take them in, they use them, and they throw them out. He says, well, it'll be different. I said, Danny, it's not going to be different. I think I can, within 2 years, I think I can turn them, you know, get them out of the convention and let them go independent. I said, okay. What happened? Another bad experience. And I said, it would be better if you just sit still and let the Lord come up with something better. Not for my sake, but for His. I mean, when you know something, if you know the direction your child is going is a train wreck, and you know that here's a place you can get on and fly a plane, would you let them go? Or would you advise them to, oh, go ahead, find out on your own. Find out by experience. Maybe you'll be dead, but then you'll at least find out. Or you give them a plan of escape that, you know, is in the air. It's better. It's kind of, to me, it's clear to me. I hope it's clear to you. Verse 9. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us. So Paul's sleeping, I mean, probably. Sees a man. He was one of the first charismatics, right? They see visions and people. I don't think so. I think he saw this right by the Aegean Sea. He's in Europe, pleading for him to come to Macedonia. Here is what he had been waiting for on the Spirit. I mean, in the Spirit, to be evangelized. Now, how do you know that? From verse 10. Come over, had called us for to preach the gospel unto them. Maybe they didn't have that knowledge to the other places that they wanted to go. So, again, notice the change. It's very important. Paul is with them. And you should be familiar with it. Anytime they talk about we, Luke is in there. And so sure are they that this is from the Lord and what the Lord wants, they get on a boat and they cross the Aegean Sea. That cost money? Yeah. Where did they get the money? The mission board? Oh, there was no mission board. They worked for it, probably. Unless somebody had it. Dr. Luke might have had it. I don't know. They might have bartered something. But again, early missions is so different than ours. They felt this is where the Lord wants us. The Lord stopped them twice and then gets them to the place He wants them to be, and there they go. So you wonder, maybe you don't wonder, I don't wonder. When we talk about, you read Acts for power. Look what they did with the information they had. They just used it. They didn't have to sit down. They didn't have an organization over them telling them, no, you've got to go through our psychological training program. And tell us, what are your good points? Maybe tell us what some of your bad points are. Have you had anything to do like that? I didn't last very long on that one. I think I said my bad points are that I hate people that talk to me about and want to know what my bad points are. God knows my bad points. You don't need to know them. So we'll stop there. They are headed toward. They're going to go into Macedonia and Philippi, and great things are going to happen. Even though there were two disappointments. So disappointments don't mean eventual victory. They don't hinder the eventual victory, and you'll see the victory is coming. So let's pray. Father, we are so grateful to have this book, to have your word, to know beyond any question that what we have, every chapter, every verse, every occurrence is for us. To build us up in the faith so that we can trust you in all things. Yes, we live in a different time. We can't just walk out of here and go over to Israel and say, hey, we're coming here to in your country, your own land, and try to win your people to Christ. And a lot of other countries are the same. But you've given us other opportunities to do things that we can sidestep those and still be honest and truthful. We're glad that the Holy Spirit indwells us and that he convicts us and that he instructs us and that he leads us. He's interested in doing the same thing that he did to Paul and Silas and Timothy and Luke and everybody else all through the church age. We just need to trust them. Sometimes we need to wait, and he'll show us. He'll lead us, and he'll guide us. I'm grateful, Father. It's a very simple lesson, but it has big results. I'm grateful for how you've dealt with me, how you're dealing with me, and that you're not through dealing with me. And that you're not through dealing with the people here of our local church. There's a reason we're here and others are not. Other than the sickness and the job and the travel. Your leading is important. Always important. And the determination, the outcome will be fruitful if we do what you want us to do and hold back when you don't want us to do something. So give us a good rest of the night, a really great day tomorrow, safety as we go to our places, strengthened, hopefully, encouraged, and ready to take advantage of the opportunities we have through the rest of this week. Our prayer thing, meeting tomorrow, this is study in Revelation Saturday, our services on Sunday. And we just pray that we'll see some people come back and that we'll see some people that maybe that are lost come to Christ as their Savior as well. But definitely that you'll speak to each one of our hearts. And we pray this now in Jesus' name. Amen.